This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This dance is called the sidestep. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Officials at Citigroup and Morgan Stanley are apparently trying out some new moves in their compensation routines. This morning's Wall Street Journal reports the banks are looking for ways to get around new federal salary caps. Last month, President Obama set a $500,000 annual cap on pay for the heads of companies that took bailout money. Wells Fargo disclosed last week it's increasing base salaries for its CEO and two other executives. Wells has taken $25 billion in government help. Fed policymakers start their latest two-day meeting today. They've already fiddled with short-term interest rates for banks. The rates are essentially zero. So the Fed is considering a more drastic move. Jill Barchet has more.
The Fed controls interest rates by buying and selling short-term Treasury bills. Tim Dewey is an economist and Fed watcher at the University of Oregon. He says there's new talk the Fed will buy longer-term treasuries, such as five-year notes. That could make it cheaper for everyone to borrow money, not just banks. But there's a big risk.
There's some possibility that we lose control of the situation and pump too much money in and actually trigger an inflationary episode.
The talk comes after the Bank of England started buying up its government bonds last week. Long-term rates have fallen in the U.K.
And so now people are thinking, well, the Bank of England just did this. Is it the Fed's turn?
Not right away, says Dewey. He says buying longer-term treasuries is a bit like firing an unguided missile. He says the Fed won't push that button unless the economy goes into freefall. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
It's a dividend freefall for Alcoa. The aluminum maker said last night it's slashing its quarterly dividend 82%, the first cut of that sort in more than a quarter century. Major markets in Asia extended their rally today, but Wall Street snapped its winning streak yesterday. The Dow dropped 7 points or 0.1% to 72.16. The Nasdaq was down almost 2% and at 14.04. Markets in Europe are currently lower across the board. Germany's economic minister is in Washington for a second day of high-level meetings. Today, a sit-down with U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. Yesterday, there were talks with top brass from GM on whether the company's European operations can expect financial help. Christopher Worth reports.
February's numbers show sales for GM's European divisions, Opel and Vauxhall, are down 22%, much further than the European average. Many of the same worries that have plagued the beleaguered carmaker in the U.S. are keeping European buyers at bay, according to Tim Ukert of IHS Global Insight.
Buyers will be worried about buying from a manufacturer that's potentially going out of business. There's all kinds of issues regarding, you know, will warranties be honored, you know, residual value, spare parts, all those things.
Ukert says some decision should be made soon to avoid further damage. But Germany is reluctant about GM. Ministers are looking for assurances from the company on its own financial contribution to its European operations and that no government aid from Berlin ends up in Detroit. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Car loans are among the bills piling up in this recession. The percentage of payments past due at least a couple months was up nearly 9% at the end of 08 compared to a year earlier. Credit agency TransUnion says auto delinquencies will probably hit their highest point in a decade by the end of this year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work.
About $70 billion of the new stimulus package will be spent on renewable energy, energy efficiency, and other green initiatives.
On a micro level, many Americans are already working green ideas into their lives. But there are people that aren't ready or able to dump a car for a bike or just can't deal with the glare from a compact fluorescent. Ashley Milntite has this look at how marketers are trying to sell the idea of being green to those not fully converted.
Scientific evidence may show the planet is in trouble, but dire warnings aren't the way to go.
Using negative messages can have sometimes a very negative effect on us.
Chaim Mano is a professor of marketing at the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
For example, if we see a message that invokes notions of fear, very often many of us will completely ignore that message.
To get people to pay attention, Hugh Huff says you have to convince them they can benefit by changing their behavior. He's president of ad agency Green Team USA.
So, for example, it's not about being green to be green or saving the planet or whatever. If you buy this, it's going to save you this much money in this amount of time.
Take this ad from IBM, where a skeptical manager asks an underling why he should accept her so-called green plan.
See, the folks that I report to, they don't eat granola. So let me ask you, why would I sign this?
This plan could cut our energy costs by 40%.
Sure enough, he's instantly converted. Then there's Don't Mess with Texas. It started as an anti-littering campaign in the mid-80s. The slogan was aimed at young men, who were then the biggest beer can-throwing, cigarette-dropping culprits. Roadside trash fell by 29% within a year. Hank Stewart of Green Team USA says Don't Mess with Texas worked because it appealed to Texans' pride in their home state.
So if you wanted to make a similar success story in the environment, you would have to identify the values that are important to the audience that you want to talk to, whether it's saving money, whether it's a safer world for your kids.
But what if companies or government framed using less energy as a patriotic act, the way Texas framed cutting down on litter? Marketing professor Chaim Mano says that approach could backfire. He says driving everywhere, shopping, and cranking up the AC.
These are parts of Americana. This is part of the American culture.
He says if you imply those activities are unpatriotic, you could alienate the people you're trying to reach. So you need to keep the message inclusive and upbeat, even if what's behind the message is pretty depressing. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Listen to more sustainability stories at marketplace.org. Wall Street is pointed to a modestly higher opening at this hour. That is despite a new report from the Commerce Department that we'll see a little later. We're expected to see new home construction and building permit applications to fall to record lows last month. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening and have a nice Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.